As we think about our pastoral prayer today, there's a lot of things that I wrote down. I wanted to read for you 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2 through 10. And if we think about all this, you know, what's going on, we could pray for our nation, and we need to. It's a broken world, isn't it? The answer is the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we ask the Lord for our leaders to have wisdom. We pray for them. We pray for, but ultimately, it's about all mankind needs the Lord. They need a relationship with God. And, you know, all the fires going on, the one that's just now started a day and a half ago up at Shaver Lake, and all the ones through our state. And we pray for all those, pray for the safety of the firemen and for the people and all the things. But I thought our focus today on our prayer should be on the salvation of the Lord. And if you listen to what Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica, listen to what he says. I'll make a few comments and then we'll pray. Paul, writing to that church, he said, "We give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of our God and Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved, by God, his choice of you. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in the power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. Just as you know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake, you also became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place your faith toward God has gone forth, so that we have no need to say anything, for they themselves report about us what kind of reception we had with you and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God and to wait for a Son from heaven whom he raised from the dead, that is Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath to come." Obviously, when you come to faith in Christ, when you are saved, when you're born again, regenerated, it impacts a person's life tremendously, does it not? It does. It changes everything. And as a church family, as we corporately together live faithfully the truth of transformation of the salvation we have, what we do is we impact our community. That's God's way and plan. And so when we see everything going on, yes, let's pray for all of those things. We would need to hold them up to the Lord and ask for his grace and mercy and care and protection and all that. Ultimately, let's pray for the salvation of souls. Let's pray that we would live such in a way faithful to the truth of the transformation found in Jesus Christ of salvation, that God would use us to meet many hearts for the gospel. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your desire to save. This is because of your desire. We thank you for your desire to reconcile us back in a relationship with you. We're grateful for your mercy and your grace that include us, to use us, Lord, to build your kingdom, to be your people. We pray, Lord, for that you would strengthen our hearts and convictions to be your church, to be a light to those around us, for you alone are worthy of our submission, for you alone are worthy of our worship. All of these things that are on our heart today corporately, whether it be loved ones or jobs or children or communities or people that we know, we lift them to you, Lord. Ultimately, we're asking, Lord, in the midst of all the, like it says in our passage, even in the midst of much tribulation, we can become imitators of the Lord with the joy of the Holy Spirit. That's our desire, Lord. That's what we want. So minister to us through your word today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now we're going to get to our communion message today. And I encouraged you, you know, the focus today was going to be on salvation. So If you pull out your outline there and get ready for our message today, I mentioned it earlier that we'll be taking communion at the end of the service. In our message for this morning, we'll be looking at seven aspects of taking communion. And you know what we do each Sunday of the month, each first Sunday of the month, one of these are normally included in our communion message. One of these aspects is, you know, sometimes we'll focus on two, sometimes one. So I thought it would be a good opportunity today for us to just preach a message on all the aspects that can be emphasized. So we'll be turning to a few passages this morning as we go along, but let's start by opening up our Bibles to 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, and we'll start there. Go ahead and pull out your outline so you can follow along. So the message is seven aspects of taking communion. In coming to the Lord's table, which we're going to do today to participate in communion, one aspect is we remember Christ's saving work. We're going to look at that today. But that's one we normally think about, the Lord's saving work in our life. We celebrate our real communion with Christ. The Word of God tells us when we take communion, we commune with the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that. He lives in us. We live in Him. We have a real relationship with Him. There's a celebration during the communion time in His death, in His life and death, and we have a communion with Him in that. And then we commune, we celebrate that we commune with each other. There's a new life that we have that has made us one, in a sense, members of one another. And if you flip it over, another aspect is we acknowledge our worship is singular. We worship God and God alone. We battle some of the things that we may worship, a little idolatry in all of our hearts and in areas that we put above the Lord. But that's what we acknowledge when we come to communion. It's Him and Him alone that we worship. We bring ourselves to the place of purification. Each and every time we take communion, here's how that kind of looks. Because the Lord Jesus loved us so much, He gave us communion and said, examine your heart when you come. You know why? Because He knows sin's destruction and what it does in a human's life that doesn't examine it. That's how much He loves you and cares for you. He's not condemning or hateful or negative. He just knows what sin does in our lives, even though that we're saved. Number six, we proclaim salvation in Christ alone. It is in Him and Him alone. It's not in the elements. It's not in taking communion. It's not in baptism. It's not in works. It's not in any other thing other than faith in Christ, and we anticipate His coming kingdom. There you go. I preached the message. Ready to take communion? It won't take long. I'm just going to kind of just walk through these. But in our heart, what we want to be doing is listening to the Word of God and listening to what God is saying and sealing these things in our heart before we take communion. First, in 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 25, the Apostle Paul is reminding the church at Corinth of what he had already taught them. That's in relation to taking communion. He has already taught them that. He's already been there. Listen to what he says, verse 23 through 25. He says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.' In the same way, He took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me.'" So there it is. The Lord instituted communion. He told us to do it. It's a command of God. Most conservative scholars would say, agree that 1 Corinthians was written before any of the Gospels. I don't know if you know that. So here we have the first written account of what the Lord's Supper communion is. The Gospels, here's the first biblical account, and it's perfectly consistent with the gospel accounts, but it is the Apostle Paul understanding that he received directly from the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what it says again. It says the night that he was betrayed. I just want you to think about it in a person in their humanity and what he knew he was going to go through, and he's being betrayed. I read it today. As we read it today and looked at it, Judas is betraying him. Here they come with weapons, and he says, "Here I am." I just want you to think about who our Lord is. In the night of the world's evil coming against Jesus in the greatest way, in that moment of the world's evil, the Satan and all of it coming against Jesus in the greatest way, our Lord institutes one of the greatest earthly treasures that we have on the planet. Ever cease to amaze you that He kept His focus? Stub your toe, how focused are you? Right? Men just be an hour and a half past dinner time and you've worked really hard all day. Think about, He had the humanity that you have, okay? Yes, he's the Lord Jesus Christ, but he had that humanity. It never ceases to amaze me how much he kept his focus and him caring about us in our life. The passage says, the night of his betrayal, Jesus, after giving thanks to the Father, took the bread and he broke it. He distributed it left and right. And he said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. To the Jewish people, the bread represented the exodus from slavery when they were out of Egypt. That's what it represented, manna. Jewish people understood that truth well. Now it represents the body of Jesus, not just his physical body, but the whole person. The bread is symbolic, okay? It's symbolic of the life of Christ, all that he is and all that he did. Listen to this. Jesus gave his life for our salvation. This is my body, which is for you. The bread represents the whole incarnate life of him, his whole teaching ministry, his whole work, all that he did, all that he said, all he did in his humanity as a person. Philippians 2, 5 through 8 says this, and I'm paraphrasing it, the Son of God gave himself to come in the likeness of man, emptied himself, did not require his deity be honored, and in humanity gave his whole earthly life for our salvation. He gave that entire life for you. I want you to think about that. He was dishonored, despised, rejected, slandered, hated by those he created and by those he loved. I want you to think about that. You have some people that you love in your life. Somehow that relationship's broken. Somehow that thing isn't there. Somehow that it's just not there. Do you give your whole entire life for someone and cry for them that there's a broken relationship in? And I just want you to think about his humanity in this. He went without. He suffered emotionally. He cried for people's rejection and lostness. He literally gave his whole life, living daily in his humanity for our rescue of redemption. That's what the bread is symbolic of. That was his attitude of humility. The bread represents him living a life in submission to the will of God the Father, denying himself all the way to the cross. Who denied himself for 24 hours this week? Raise your hand. That's what the symbolic, the bread represents. It represents him going through all of that for us. 1 Corinthians 11:25 says, in the same way he took the cup and said, this is the new covenant in my blood. Drink it in remembrance of me. The shedding of the blood represents his death. Christ died on the cross. His sacrifice was for our sin. His payment for the penalty of sin was ours to be paid. He paid it for us. For our deliverance of sin and for our forgiveness of sin, it cost him his earthly life. It cost him sin's penalty to be poured upon him. It's called the wrath of God. If you would have read Revelations right before it, what it looks like when the wrath of God comes upon the people that have rejected the Lord. When you look upon the wrath of God that we've been delivered from, that's in 1 Thessalonians 1:10, we're waiting for the Lord who rescues us from the wrath to come. If you think about the wrath of God, God's righteous, just wrath, he's totally holy and pure in his wrath on the penalty of sin, and God poured it upon your Lord for you. God demonstrates his own love toward you in that while you were a sinner, Christ died for you. Romans 5:8. Thank you, Bobby. So the bread is symbolic of all that he was and all that he did. The cup represents that he did it all the way to the point of death, even death on the cross, taking upon the punishment for sin for your salvation. The Lord Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me, a command, by the way. That's really the first aspect of remembering Christ's saving work. And, you know, going through this, we remember he gave it all of his life in living it. Think about living your life for someone else that rejects you, but knowing that when you do that, God's going to pierce their heart and bring them into a reconciled relationship. And he gave his life and death, sacrificial. Think of that for a moment. Give all of your life, living it for someone else to the point of death. Think about you doing that. Made me think of a picture I was looking at about a half a year ago. It was of my mom and dad, and It was a Thanksgiving picture. It was about 15 years ago, and we always got together on Thanksgiving with all the family. And I was flooded with memories of them and with the significance of their life. My mom and dad passed away years ago, so I'm kind of reflective on this. But I thought of all that they did for us, for me and my brother and sister, and for my kids, and for Krista's family, and all that they cared for us, giving of themselves for us, for others. You do that as a parent. You do that as friends. But I remember my childhood, high school, college. I had some stories written down here I don't have time for. I'll use them another message. But I remember how they ministered to my family and cared about it, and Gabe and Krista's family, our extended family. I remember the sacrifice of my parents from a picture. They weren't perfect at all, okay, you guys? As much as I love my mom and dad, and as much as they sacrificed and loved us, doesn't hold a candle to the Lord Jesus Christ, what he did for you. It's not even near it. It's not even close. When you and your relationship with the Lord Jesus, as it deepens, the picture presented in communion of the Lord Jesus Christ floods your heart with the significance of all that he did and all that he is and all that he cared for. It's called the love of choice. With passion to act on behalf of you for God's best for you, not caring what it cost him. That's the love of God. Second aspect of taking communion is the celebration of a real communion with Christ. It's in your outline there. But look with me at 1 Corinthians 10:16. The Apostle Paul was writing some other things about that, and he wrote this: is not the cup of blessing which we bless a sharing in the blood of Christ? Is not the bread which we break a sharing in the body of Christ? And so this is what this is, and he's talking about this. Isn't it a sharing in the body and blood of Christ? He's talking about a relationship. He's talking about a real communion. He's talking about the relationship of Christ in you, the hope of glory, right? And you in Christ in your life, now hidden in Christ, in God, right? He's talking about that. That's what he's talking about. Isn't when we do this is that we're sharing in the life of Christ. The word sharing is the word koinonia in the Greek. It means to have in common, to participate with, to have partnership with, to have fellowship with, sharing in a common life. We take communion, we spiritually participate with Christ. We fellowship with him in his life and death as we share in the common life we have with him. What we're doing is we're looking at a relationship with him. When you take communion, that's what you're doing. He's in relationship with you and you're looking at it. Galatians 2:20, it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who gave himself and died for me, right, and loved me. Think of that picture of my parents that I brought up earlier. When I look at it, I'm flooded with thoughts of a relationship that we had. But they have no knowledge of my feelings and love and care and fellowship with them. But with the Lord, at the Lord's table, as you take communion today, Jesus is well aware of your fellowship with him. He's well aware of your common life, the shared life that you have in him. He's not in the elements. He's in you and me. And he's aware of our participation with him. We celebrate that truth in communion. The Lord's presence is involved in our communion. I'm remembering his saving work, his love and care for me. I'm communing with him, fellowshipping with him. He's communing and fellowshipping with me. Look at verse 17 of chapter 10. Since there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of one bread. It's pretty clear what that's saying, isn't it? We also are celebrating our real communion. Our real sharing in the common life with each other that God gave us through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's called the new life. We are members of one another. We are a family that's deeper than blood relationships. By divine power, we are forever linked together as God's family, as brothers and sisters for eternity. We are communing together with one another. That's what he's talking about, sharing in the common life we have together in Christ. We're celebrating that. In our participation of communion, we celebrate a real life together as the body of Christ. As we do this in remembrance of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are flooded with the reality of a saving work. We are flooded with the reality of our shared life with Christ and our shared life with each other. And also when we take communion, we acknowledge our worship is singular. That's number four in our little outline on the backside. This is an act of worship. This isn't ritualistic. This is an act of worship. So is prayer. So is studying God's word. So is talking to God. Praise. It's an act of worship. It's what it is. It's a response of obedience to the Lord's commands. It is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who saved us. It is Jesus Christ who is the Lord of our life. Communion is our worship to God who saved us through the saving work of a Son, through the Holy Spirit's work of piercing our heart with the truth. Now, I'm just kind of moving along here, but this is how it seemed to flow in my heart as I was going there, not getting too distracted, to just keep the aspects coming before us. So as we come to communion, these things should be flowing in our heart and mind. These are true every time. This makes it not ritualistic. This doesn't make, well, I just did my duty. No, this is a real thing going on that God gave us, that we're to do these things. These are the things that we focus on. Communion is our worship to our God who saved us through the saving work of his Son through the Holy Spirit by the piercing of our hearts with the truth. God alone is the one that we worship. It is he who we serve. That's to be clear when you participate in communion. That's to be clear in your heart. Who do you serve? We worship God and God alone, the God of the Bible, with Jesus as Lord and Savior. Number five. As we come to the Lord's table to take communion, we bring ourselves to the place of purification. Would you look with me at 1 Corinthians 11, 27 through 29? Here's another aspect that's very important as we do this, because it's the love of God that he's wanting to minister to our heart. Let me just read it to you. It says this: "Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself." What that means, so if you look at your own life and you deal with your own life right now, here today, if you deal with your own life, whether it's, "Lord, I know that's something you've shown me in my life, I need to confess, or I need to repent, or I need to forgive," or it's a relationship with God. This is your life. This is what we do. This is how we live our life. This is what it is. And communion is helping us remember that it is. And listen to what it says: "But if you examine yourself, and in so doing," if you do that now, right, as we take communion, "he is to eat the bread and drink the cup." If you do that, if you say, "Lord, look at my life, look at my heart," oh, he shows you something or something that you know, and you say, "You know, Lord, help me with that. Forgive me for that. I want to repent of that. I want to change of that. I want to be like you. Grow me, mature me, change me." Whatever that is, it's just between you and the Lord. You're communing with the Lord. We are communing with each other in what we're doing in this. As we come to that, if we examine ourselves, take the cup. Take the bread. "And in so doing, he is to eat the bread and drink the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgments to himself if he does not judge the body rightly." It doesn't say if you're not living sinless. It says if the Lord shows you and you say, "You know, Lord, you're right." Take communion. Because it's about a relationship with him. He gave this to us. It's one of the most treasured things we have in life. Let me say it to you simply. As we come to the Lord's table to take communion, we are remembering our Lord's saving work. We are fellowshipping with him and with each other, acknowledging that our worship and service is to God alone, and we are to come examining if we are living accordingly. That we are living out that relationship with God that costs so much. Seeking his holiness, seeking Christ-likeness, dealing with our struggle, dealing with our obstinance to his way for us. And I mentioned it earlier, the Lord loved us so much and knows the destruction of sin and self-worship that he lived and died to save us from sin's destruction. You see it that way? Today. Yes, eternity. But today, here's what Jesus says today from 1 John 1:9, paraphrasing: "Confess your sin, tell me about it, agree with me that it's not the way, I have for you, for I am faithful and righteous to forgive of your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Lamentations 3:40 says, let us examine and probe our ways and let us return to the Lord. So confession and repentance, change, growth, maturity is the life of the one who has been totally forgiven of sin and brought into a relationship with the one that saved them. You want to say thank you, Lord, for giving us this, don't you? Isn't that a different way to see your shortcomings or your things in your life that you know that God doesn't want there? He doesn't want them there much more than you don't want them there, and he knows how they hinder you in this life, steal your joy, make your focus not on him. Finishing up here. So we come to the Lord's table to take communion. We remember his saving work, celebrate our real life with him and with each other. We acknowledge our worship and services in God alone, and we seek his purifying work. Last two, look at 11:26 of chapter or 1 Corinthians. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, or the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Pretty simple there. Each time we come, we proclaim the Lord's death. We proclaim salvation in Christ alone. Salvation isn't in the elements. It isn't in taking communion. It isn't in baptism. It isn't living in rightly. It's not in any work. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's through faith in him, the one that gave his life for you, lived this life, which the bread represents, and died on the cross, which the cup represents. It's in him and him alone. Salvation is found through faith in the one who gave his life, his whole life, and took your punishment for sin and died on the cross and shed his blood. And at the end of the verse, we do this. We come to the Lord's table until he comes again. The Lord Jesus is coming. We heard about it. And we take communion anticipating his coming. Titus 2:13 says, we are looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Christ Jesus. And one day, as Matthew records, we will take communion with the Lord himself. Think about that. We're going to take it with him. It's just about his kingdom and what he's doing, and he's got it prepared and planned, and we're living toward that. He cares about us right now, this today, in each thing that we got going on. But God has a plan and purpose in it all. So let me ask the ushers to come forward and the praise team. And as they come forward, I just want to encourage you to just talk to the Lord. I just want to encourage you to think about what we've been talking about today and what the Word of God is instructing us on what communion is. I ask you to focus on what is on your heart and mind about coming to the Lord's table to take communion. What's your focus? What aspect or aspects is God addressing in your life? And here's the thing. I'm just going to ask you to worship God in your response to God's word. Worship God in response to God's word and to our Lord's command to do this in remembrance of him. They're all gloving up. How we're going to do this, they're going to come around and they're just going to hand it to you, so we're not passing it around. And we'll do the bread first and we'll take it together, and then we'll do the cup and we'll take it together. Who was praying for the bread? Is that you, Jake? Go ahead, please.
Dear Heavenly Father, we praise and worship you today and every day because you are our salvation. In you we have life. Today we take the bread and drink the cup because of your sacrifice on the cross. We were once caught in sin and death, but now stand in your grace. Lord, please continue your work in us. Purify us of the sin of our lives and renew, sanctify our minds and hearts to be set on you. We love you and we praise you. In your name, amen.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea is well.
It is well
with my soul.
With my soul.
It is well. It is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the
Lord Jesus, we thank you for the life you chose to live for our salvation and for our instruction and for our encouragement. We do this in remembrance of you. David, will you pray for the cup?
Let's pray. Dear Lord, our hearts are filled with gratefulness and gratitude for what you've done, Lord, for us, for the saving of our souls, and that you bore our sin for us on that tree, Lord, and that we can be saved from our sins and live to righteousness, Lord. We are filled, Lord, with your grace and truth, Lord. Lord, we are just so grateful to you. We just pray that we might honor you with our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. Trust him in his presence daily. Then I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior. Jesus, I surrender humbly at his feet. I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken. Take me, Jesus. Take me now. I surrender. Savior, I surrender all.
your obedience to the Father's will, embrace the cross for our salvation. We do this in remembrance of you. Would you please stand with us as we sing a song together in worship of the Lord, then pray.
Sing Jesus paid it all. It starts, and I hear the Savior say,
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all.
Jesus paid it all.
Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Sin had left a crimson stain.
He washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow.
Lord, what can we say? We said it in song. We said it in the study of your word. We said it in communion. It's you and you alone that we worship. When we think about our salvation, all we can do is humbly say thank you and ask that you would use us to bring salvation to others. We thank you for our time together, for this worship service, for who you are in our life, and for the salvation we have. May we walk each day faithfully to that with a heart of gratitude. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We're dismissed for today.